This evening we're going to turn to Psalm 91 and read that psalm, and then turn to one verse in Proverbs chapter 30. Psalm 91. Let's hear the word of our God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I want to read just one verse from Proverbs chapter 30, and that is verse 5, where it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. This evening I want us to continue, in a way, what I started this morning. We were considering this morning that the Lord was a stand between, us and all our troubles, all those things that were a harm to us. He was a shield. This evening I want us to think on a question that relates to that subject. How is this to be seen? Or in what way is this to be perceived and understood and experienced? Well, as I mentioned this morning, the ways in which this can be applied are so many, it's hard to even begin to list them, let alone talk of them. But this evening, I want us to think on what I am calling a key way, that Christ is a stand between or a shield that separates and causes us to know the protection of our God from those things that are troubling. And I want us to see this, that a key way in which the Lord stands between is that He stands between us and falsehood. Between us and falsehood. Indeed, we have it written here in verse 4 of Psalm 91, the last part of that, His truth shall be thy shield or thy stand between, and buckler. In Proverbs 30, it said, every word of God, or we might say the truth of God, is pure. He is a shield or a stand between unto them that put their trust in him. Truth. The Lord stands between us and falsehood, and he brings to us his truth. So I want us to think on this for just a moment. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, now we would pray that you will bless our time in the word, that you'll guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide every word. Allow that which glorifies the Lord Jesus to be thought on and to be received. We pray that you will bless now with the Spirit of God's help. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Again, the thought that I do need to establish here as we begin, that we tried to establish this morning, was that the Lord Jesus himself is for us a shield, or that which stands between us and all those things that would possibly harm us. And we listed a great number of those. And we listed also instances that proved the Lord in a very real way, a tangible way, was seen to be the stand between, the one who goes and interposes himself between us as his people and that which would harm. I started thinking this evening on that again, and the thought came to me, well, there needs to be at least a discussion in some ways of how we see that, or what particularly does he do in that great work. And so I wanted us to think on this truth, because I think this, above all, is a subject that explains truly what the Lord Jesus has done for us. You know, the very first attack of Satan that he brought to our first parents was a lie. His first attack was falsehood. And perhaps you'll remember with me the character of that lie. He mentions from the start that God is lying. Eve, God knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll be just like him. And he doesn't want that. So there was a lie about the character of God. And let me mention that that's oftentimes where sin starts. And then he goes on in his lie, telling Eve that if she were to eat of this fruit, she would be just like God. In other words, she too would be omniscient. Well, you would think that her understanding would come to the conclusion, well, that's not even possible. A creature cannot possess omniscience. A creature cannot, well, which is finite, cannot possess that which is infinite. You cannot be all-knowing, all-wise, as God is. It's an impossibility. But Satan incorporated that into his lie. And then Satan also incorporated this. Thou shalt not surely die. He lied about the result of sin. Sin is only a good thing. Sin gets you what you want. Sin allows you to be all that you want to be. You will not die. So, again, my point is that from the first danger, the first assault, the first attack that really would have been something that a shield would have been a help to our first mother, well, it was falsehood. Falsehood. And I would suggest to you that a grievous part of sin is that it is a leaving of truth in favor of falsehood. In fact, I think almost every sin has that to to a degree. Sin is not only a transgression of the law of, or a failure to do the law of God, but it is also a conclusion. A conclusion that trespassing will bring gain or happiness. Well, what's to be done with this great trouble? What has to happen with this terrible attack that not only our first parents had, but persists throughout the days of men's walk on earth? Well, that's what we're going to consider. But I'm going to say this as a foundational statement to begin with. And that is, our God is the God of truth. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. God is a God of truth. In other words, there is with him no falsehood, nor can there abide in his presence falsehood. That which is manufactured and comes of falsehood will be that which he judges. Our God is a God of truth. No one, the scripture says, no one shall abide with him that worketh abomination or maketh a lie. No man is able to abide before God with falsehood in his heart, in his mind, or in his history. But also we might mention this, that no man because of sin is able to come to the truth. There's a dilemma, there's a problem. You and I, because of our depraved nature, because sin abides within us, we're not able even to come to the truth. So says John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. John 8 and 44 tells us that there is no truth in us. Well, the Lord was speaking to the Pharisees, but that's true of us all. You don't have truth in you. In fact, it's sort of, I was going to say an interesting thing, but I think it's appropriate to our thoughts, that when the Lord Jesus was standing in our place, being condemned of men, ready to go to the cross for us, Pilate asks him the question, what is truth? Well, you're looking at it. You see it. You see the one who is the truth. In fact, John says from the start of his gospel that the Word was sent of God. And in verse 14 of chapter 1, that this Word that was with God before the foundation of the world was full of grace and truth. Verse 14. He says then, in just a couple of verses after that, that truth came by Christ. John 1 and 17. Well, you know the words of John 14 and verse 6, where the Lord Jesus says plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man comes except through my person, but no man comes except through the truth that I bring. In fact, we might even conclude this, that Christ came to save, yes, and for that we are thankful. But salvation is the embracing of truth. John 8 and 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, how does Christ, the truth, stand between us and falsehood? How are we delivered from falsehood, from lies, from, and I'm not talking about lies that are, that which lies within our own heart, for indeed, does it not say in the scripture that our heart is deceitful above all things, meaning our hearts don't tell us the truth? Who can know your heart? It is so deceitful. In fact, it might even say this, for the natural man, the heart of natural man despises the truth. So how are we brought to the place where we have deliverance from falsehood? Well, the point is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus as the truth stands between us and that which proves to be a fatal and deadly enemy? Well, I have four things I'm going to present to you this evening as to how the Lord Jesus proves to be a shield, how the truth of God proves to be a stand between truth in the person of Christ. First, I want you to see this with me, that we are delivered from falsehood by the Spirit of truth being received. The Spirit of truth is received. John 14 and verse 17 speaks of the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, he will do a work that brings between you and that which is false a shield. In fact, the scripture tells us in that verse that the world cannot receive this blessing, this interposition of the shield of truth in Christ. The world receives it not, only those that are the Lord's. And with that Spirit of Christ that is now in us, we are those who are brought to see light. My mind immediately thought of that hymn, "The dungeon flamed with light, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." How does that happen? Well, the Spirit of God comes and does a work. You know, the old man with the old heart, the deceitful heart, looks at what is truth and he changes it. The scriptures tells us that in Romans chapter 1, that the old man changes truth into a lie. Romans 1 and 18 says that the old man holds the truth in unrighteousness. But then Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7 that it is the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God, sent of Jesus Christ, that steps in between us and the falsehood of Satan, the falsehood that leads to death. He steps between us, the power of the Spirit of God steps in and causes there to be light where there was darkness, life where there was death, understanding where there was ignorance, submission where there was rebellion, and faith where there was incessant unbelief. We are delivered by the Lord Jesus in that the Spirit of Christ is received in us. There is the reception, the regenerating power of the Spirit of God that first works in us, separating light from darkness. Second, not only is the Spirit of truth received, the truth of God is revealed. What does the Spirit of God do when he steps into our lives and the power of God is made manifest within our souls, when there is a life-changing event in which the Lord brings us from death unto life, when there is that Lazarus call that brings us from the grave? What happens? Well, first, the truth of God is revealed. What does he show us? What is the truth that is interposed between us and falsehood? What is it that dispels, as it were, the lies of Satan and the deceptions of the old heart? Well, the Spirit of God comes and he shows us a number of things. First, we are shown God in his holiness. We deal with a God who is holy, a God who will not acquit the wicked. We are dealing with a God who looks and sees sin and rewards it with judgment. We see our God in holiness. We are shown not only God in his holiness, we're shown ourselves in our filthiness. We are shown by the Spirit of God, you're lost. You are under condemnation. The wages of sin is death, and that's your wages that you're soon to be paid. He shows us our filthiness, that every thought of our heart seems to be evil continually. He shows us that we are lost and undone. You say, oh, that's an awful and a hard thing. No, that's a very faithful thing. That is a truth that brings us to see what is truth, and that is our state is perilous. We are shown our future is hopelessness. Without a remedy, without there to be a change, without there to be a correction, without there to be an absolute overhauling of our mind and heart by the Spirit of God, we are hopeless. We are lost, and we are undone, and the constant song of our heart is, woe, woe is me. The Spirit of God shows us God in His holiness. He shows us ourselves in our filthiness. He shows us our future in our hopelessness. But He shows us also then our Savior in His graciousness. No one ever speaks the way that Christ speaks. That's the testimony of the guards that come back to report to the Pharisees. No man ever spake like this man. Why? Because everything he says is the pure truth of God. The Lord Jesus in His graciousness heals. He touches that which the world says, now this is an awful thing. This is unclean. No, the Lord Jesus comes and in His graciousness deals with sinners. He becomes the friend of sinners. He carries their sorrows. He allows Himself to bear their stripes. The Holy Spirit shows us how gracious is Christ Jesus in bearing our sins at Calvary. And then He shows us that our salvation is in His worthiness. Our salvation is in His worthiness. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a sinner. Or as Paul would say, I'm the chief of sinners. Someday I'll debate that with him, maybe. But He brings truth. And you know, the nature and the power of the Spirit of God revealing all of these things is not that just He stands, as it were, a stand between us and falsehood. When the Spirit of God applies the truth of God to our hearts by the power of God, He forces all falsehood to pass away. And I mean, not flee away or just go away, but it passes away. Falsehood dies in the presence of the truth of God revealed to a heart that's regenerated to Jesus Christ. Or may I put it this way, the falsehood which damns us is separated from us forever. We dwell in the light of God's truth. And it's sweet. You ever note when you read through Psalm 119 how many times the psalmist says that the truth of God is that which is sweet to his soul? And he says it in different ways, of course, that the word of God, the law of God, the precepts or the statutes of God. But it's all the same. The truth that's in Jesus Christ is now for me a very, very wonderful and sweet thing. Christ interposes truth between us and falsehood by the Spirit of truth being received, by the truth of God being revealed, and also by this, the walk with God is restored. The walk with God is restored. Perhaps you remember the words of John chapter 17. And in verse 17 of that chapter, the Lord Jesus talks about how He's asking the Father to allow those who are His to go on with the Father. And He makes a statement. He says, He's praying, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Because of what the truth of God is now, applied to us, known by us, loved by us, we are able to walk with God. And in that sanctifying, we have the answer to our hearts which accuse us. But I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. How am I supposed to go on with God? Well, the answer is because he shows us Christ. We are shown truth. Not in or by ourselves now. We don't stand before the Lord by ourselves now. That's all past. We are in union with Jesus Christ. And when the Lord looks at us, he looks and sees Christ. And so in Christ, as John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light, well, the light of what? The light of truth. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with our God. We're able to go on with our God. No longer is self the test or the way in which we govern our worthiness to go on with God. Self-bashing comes to an end as we look to the Lord Jesus. Sin has no mastery, Romans tell us. But I sin. Sure you do. But the answer is to look to Christ. Look to the truth of your standing with God through Christ Jesus. And remember the truth. Remember who you are in him. Remember about him. Look to him. Think on him. You're able to walk with God because of what he has done. The Lord Jesus interposes his truth so that the falsehood that the devil would use to accuse us, to cast us down, to make us to be those who are despondent and in despair, that is taken away as we consider and as we believe the truth of God concerning what Christ has done and accomplished and achieved for us before the throne of God. And then I have one last thing I want to present. That when the Lord Jesus sends this stand between of his truth. Yes, we receive the Spirit of truth. The truth of God is revealed and the walk with God is restored, but then also the treasures of God are rewarded. Romans 8 and 32, you know this verse. What does it say? Just very simply, if God gives us Christ, if God puts the Lord Jesus between us and all that is against us, if he is that wall, that shield for us, and the Lord puts him in that place as he puts him before himself at Calvary, will he not with him also freely give us all things? Will he not reward us with the treasures of heaven? Will he not give us all these things that the Lord Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5? When he says, blessed are. Well, how many times does he use that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, and so forth. All those things become ours. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus says. What's included in the all things? Well, I would say this, and this is one we debate. Prayers are answered. Do we believe that prayers are answered? I think sometimes we battle with that, don't we? One of the treasures I would also say is that providence is discerned. We are enabled by our God to think and do right because Christ has stepped in to bring us life and to bring us that more abundantly. This is just one of the things that I would have liked us to think on when it says that Christ is our stand between, as we noted this morning. The things that his being between us and that which is against us, that which harms us. This is just one. That he causes truth to stand between us and falsehood, and as a result of that, we find ourselves in a place where we're able to think right, we're able to act right, not just before men, but mostly before God, and that we are able to have life and that more abundantly. I would challenge you to think more on this thought of Christ as your shield, as your stand between. And consider that the Lord tells us plainly, His truth shall be thy shield. Well, the truth being the person of the Lord Jesus as the one who reveals to us our God. Well, may the Lord bless His word and allow us to know the helps that come from thinking on it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that you will bless the word of God. We pray that you will allow it to be that which is for us, not just a help, but it may be that which is for us a glory. We glory in the truth, the perfect truth of our God that casts out, that dispels, that banishes darkness and falsehood. Now, O God, I pray that thou wilt bless these, thy people, as they walk before thee in the course of the days of this week. We would pray that thou keep our hearts and minds close to Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.